Welcome to the Advice for Ambition podcast, Life's Lessons on One Place. I'm your host, Sandra Liu, and in this podcast, we'll be interviewing people in various walks of life, various stages of their life, and various careers. I hope this podcast will be a way for you, the listener, to be able to find your inspiration and your aspirations in life. Thank you for listening, and let's get right into the episode. Hi guys, and welcome back to this episode of Advice for Ambition. So today I figured I'd talk about something that might be, well, I feel like I always say this during the start of every podcast, but it's mostly going to be about finances. So this is a topic that is pretty important to me, like all my life, since I grew up in a relatively low-income family, and growing up, my parents never really had a good grasps on their finances. They were never really the family, I guess we were never really the family that handled everything well and handled debt well. So because of that, I grew up with a mindset of scarcity, and I know that the scarcity mindset is something that isn't really beneficial when you're trying to grow your wealth in the future, especially as a working adult, now that I have my own income. But I do believe that growing up that way had really helped me solidify my relationship with money and the capability to save money. So I know a lot of people don't like talking about their finances since it is a bit more touchy, whether it's with your friends, your family, or even in a relationship. But I actually think it's best to openly discuss money in terms of how much you should be saving, whether or not you should be investing your money, having a high interest savings account. Like, these are all things that I feel like people should discuss more openly, and they're honestly really important when you're an adult and you're working and maybe you're slowly accruing some amount of savings, and you don't want that money to just sit in a regular checkings or savings account that's earning maybe 0.1% interest or 0.01% interest per year. Like, your money could be doing a lot more for you. And your goal really is to have the money you earn work for you and not you working for your money. So I recently learned about the FIRE movement, or the FI movement, which is basically financial independence, retire early. As of right now, while I'm recording this podcast, I am currently 23 years old and working in the New York City metro area. So definitely a bit harder to save, but it's definitely a long-term goal to eventually save up enough and not retire early, but actually just transition early, which is another term, fight instead of fire. And basically, the goal is to eventually move towards a position where you're able to not trade your time for money, but instead you are flexible with your time and the hours that you spend working and making an income, as well as taking into account geo arbitrage, where you're basically able to work in different areas of the world at a lower cost of living while also making a similar amount of money to what you had been. So it's basically taking advantage of, let's say, a New York salary while living in maybe the Philippines or Thailand, where the cost of living is significantly lower, and you could probably lower your cost of living to even $20,000, $30,000 a year if you're using geo arbitrage. So I think the main point that I'm trying to make is the fact that I don't feel like it's actually realistic for you to think that a corporate job is going to be your rest of your life until retirement, which may be 65, it may be earlier, it may be later. It probably depends on the person and the situation, but I really think that there's more to it, and it's really about finding the time to think about what passions that you have in life outside of your day job, and really honing into your strengths and trying to think about maybe a potential business model or a way to make an income or profit from your skills. Now, even if you're not interested in FIRE or the financial independence movement, I really do think there's a really important aspect of just having the skills to save enough money for a rainy day. So you never know what's going to happen in life. there are things that can catch you by surprise, especially growing up in my family where money wasn't really something that we had a lot of. And it was really important for us to take care of ourselves because we wouldn't have necessarily the funds for a potential trip to the emergency room or anything big that would happen. But things like this happen all the time in life, and you really want that blanket or safety net to keep you prepared and not put you into debt for medical reasons or credit card debt or even your loans for school. If you think about it this way, while you are working in a regular job or any job, honestly, you are basically trading your time for money. And you want to get to a point where you're no longer trading time for money, but letting the money that you earn make money for you or save you time. So how I used to think about it when I was just starting to save money for college, I mostly worked at part-time jobs that paid under $10 an hour, mostly averaging around $8 an hour, and pre-tax I would probably get around $6 or $7 an hour since I was in high school and college. So I mostly took that money, and every time I wanted to buy something, I would basically see it as a trade-off for my time. So let's say I'm trying to buy a pair of shoes for $40, and that might seem low to some people, but that actually seems pretty high to me, at least when I was in college. So let's say I'm trying to buy these shoes, and I'm thinking about it in a way where it's, well, if I consider how much I make per hour, and it's about $10 per hour at this part-time job, after tax is about $8.50, and I'm probably spending about almost 5 hours of my time just to buy this pair of shoes. So when I think about it, if I really wanted these shoes, or if I really needed them, then I probably wouldn't be questioning this as much. But the fact that I'm even questioning the fact that if I should contradict myself on whether or not I should buy them means that it's probably not a necessity. And thinking about it in a way where I'm spending almost 4 to 5 hours of my time to buy these shoes because it takes me 4 to 5 hours to make $40, that honestly makes it a more realistic trade-off because money is just time translated into cash or dollars. So if you think about it that way, the money that you spend is really the time that you're spending to get that item or to get that experience. And nowadays, when I think back, there's so many things that I bought that I really have no idea what I did with it today, especially if it's something that I may have really liked at first, but then after a year or two, it's not really something that I would still wear or still use. So nowadays, I only look to spend money on things that I would use long-term or I can see myself using often enough for it to bring me the value back for the money that I spent on it. You may have heard the term time is your most valuable asset, and I completely agree with this because at the end of the day, what people regret the most when they're towards retirement or later in life are really the things that they regret doing. And I think that if this money that you spend is put towards something that's more experiential or something that you can experience with friends or towards an event that you can remember, then that is money well spent. Because you're not going to think back when you're 50 or 60 years old and think about that cute pair of shoes that you bought and how much you like them. But instead, you're really going to think about the memories that you made with people that matter to you the most. So I really try to think about it that way. At this point in my life, I would definitely choose experiences and memories with close friends and people that I love compared to a handbag or a pair of shoes. But then again, I've never really been too interested in material objects. I've mostly grown up in a family where we didn't really put value on that as much compared to other families, so I didn't really grow up with a need for things in my life. And I actually found more happiness with the memories that I made with people, which is another reason why experiences are important to me. But if you're someone who enjoys spoiling themselves every once in a while, that's also okay. I think that there's a balance to everything, and as long as you're happy at the end of the day, that's what matters. But having a secure savings amount is also a way to contribute to your happiness, because if you're feeling like you don't really have an insurance or an umbrella that can really keep you accounted for and safe when you're going through any financial hardships or medical hardships in life, because sometimes things are inevitable and you never really know what's going to happen. So I would really recommend having at least a year's worth of savings or financial umbrella or backup, because I know people say save 3 months of your living expenses, but I actually think it's a lot more secure to plan ahead a lot further, because you never know where you're going to be in a year. Some people don't even know where they're going to be in 6 months. So if you really take the time to plan for a year's worth of savings, that really puts you into the mindset of, well, what costs can I cut back on and what costs can I save that I don't really need to spend? So that's really going to put you in that mindset of, so what can I save here? Or how much can I save if I buy this or if I don't buy this? So you're really going to think of those thoughts more rather than just saying, oh, I saved 3 months of savings in about 6 months to a year and now I'm done, I'm good, and because I have that money cushion. But really, you should put yourself in the mindset of having higher goals and setting those goals even higher than maybe you can expect to reach. So I feel like even if you think about saving a year's worth of savings, you can just say that, oh, well, even if I don't hit a year, I hit 8 months, and that's already more than the 3 months that I originally had planned to save. So at the end of the day, you're still saving more than you had originally intended to, and that's really what matters. Another thing that I want to talk about is credit card debt. So I have always been an avid supporter of people who pay their credit cards right away. And I've always done this. I don't think I've ever had a late credit card bill where I had to pay interest. So I basically use my credit card for majority of 95% of my purchases on a day-to-day basis. And then using this, I basically pay my credit cards at the end of every week. So let's say I spent $60 in 1 week on my credit cards, and I basically go through each of them. I have about 4 to 5 credit cards. And I know some of you might be thinking, wow, what are you going to do with 4 to 5 credit cards? How can you pay those all back and how do you keep track of them? Well, I actually am really obsessed with paying back my credit cards, so that was a plus for me. But I know it's kind of hard to get into that habit if you aren't used to doing that. So I would recommend starting off with just 1 or 2 credit cards if you know that you're the type of person to maybe start accumulating credit card debt. Then I would just put yourself in the position where you don't have a chance to touch it. So if you just have 1 or 2 credit cards, that's okay. And then you can just slowly practice paying those back, because it's always good to build credit, whether you're just starting out and have your first credit card or you've had your credit card for years. And it's really a good habit to get into, especially with not accumulating debt. And honestly, just telling yourself that you reject debt. Like, you don't want debt in your life, and you really want to think about it in a way where that debt is a hindrance to you and your personal and professional growth. So your financial stability is probably the most important thing when you think about your outlook on life, and so many things depend on money nowadays, and you don't want to be caught in a place where you don't have it when you really need it, and that's the main thing that you're saving for. So I would say, pay back your debt as fast as possible. And if you watch the Dave Ramsey show, then he calls it the debt snowball. So you start with the smallest debt first, and then you get into that mindset, and then it basically gets the ball rolling. So it's really all about your mindset and staying on track of your goals and staying on top of your monthly payments. And then one last piece of advice I would give at this point is to make sure that if you have a substantial savings and you're not interested in putting in the stock market, or maybe you're not ready to invest yet, or you're not at that point in your life, then you should really consider a high interest savings account, because this will give your money a place to basically live, but also grow at the same time. So you don't want your money to just sit somewhere where you're getting maybe 10 cents per year or 10 cents per month, because your money could be doing better than that. And honestly, it's not going to beat inflation. And with a high interest savings account, you could probably earn around 1.7% APY. And that's pretty good. If you have 10K, then you can probably make $170 per year in interest. and that's way more than what your checking account would give you. So I definitely recommend that. Maybe you can make that your goal, and they're really easy to set up online. I opened one with Marcus, but they also have really good ones at Capital One and a bunch of others online. Not endorsing anyone in particular, but there are definitely ones with higher interest, but you just need to make sure that you find one that you can trust. So with that, I think I'm going to close this podcast off, and I really hope you guys enjoyed this one. I am really passionate about personal finance, so that's definitely something that I would love to talk about for other episodes, and maybe talk more about investing, as well as not only the importance of saving, but also how I save my money and where I basically distribute my funds. So yeah, thanks for watching, and I'll see you next time. Thanks for tuning in today, and you can expect a new episode of Advice for Ambition every Wednesday morning. I'm your host, Sandra Liu, and don't forget to stay ambitious.